Thank the Lord this morning for His loving kindness that He has showed to all of us. Have a word that the Lord had put on my heart and began talking to me about to share for the service this morning. And maybe you haven't seen that word written very often. Maybe we don't use that word very often, but the word is tender. And I think probably mostly, usually when we use that word, we're talking about the quality of meat that we're eating, whether it's tender or tough. And we most, usually we like meat that's tender. It means, and when we talk about tender, we mean it's soft. With meat, it's easily chewed up. Had some meat recently that you had to work to get through it. And you chewed, and one bite went a long way. And, you had to work at it. But something that's tender, it's soft, it's chewable, it's something in characteristic of humans. It means showing gentleness. We sang the song Loving Kindness. If you say someone is tender, you're not saying they're easily chewed up. Even though, do you realize when someone has a very tender spirit, you've got to watch it because you can chew them up a lot quicker than you can someone that's tough. But tender means gentle. It means someone that has sympathy, caring, kind, generous, humane, as opposed to hard and rough, someone that's not easily moved. But someone that's easily moved, you say they're tender. And I know that sometimes that you may think, well, a tender is more of a characteristic for women. And in some sense, it is. In some respects, there is a softness that ought to be in a woman. And there are areas of a man that ought to be tough and hard. And I believe that God intended it to that be that way. But the burden that we have this morning, there are characteristics that God wants all of us to be tender in areas of life. And it will, Jesus was the chief example of tenderness. When we look at His life as someone to follow after as an example, Jesus demonstrated the tenderness in how He treated people, in His conduct and in His spirit. I'd like to read over in the book of Luke in the first chapter, beginning with the 76th verse. And this was speaking, and remember that Jesus as a baby was brought to the temple, and Zacharias had the child. And he was prophesying, he was giving God thanks for the gift of the Savior. And in verse 76, he said, "Thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace." Here he was talking about Christ being the Savior, giving light to the world, and he said it was by the tender mercies of God. I know I would not be here this morning if it had not been for the tender mercies of the Lord. And wouldn't you be in the same place? If it were not for the, and we say tender mercy, do you know that was an adjective there? What kind of, how can you have a hard mercy? Someone that is kind of hard about it, and I'm not going to give you what you deserve, but yet there's still this distance and this hardness. But with God, it was a tender mercy that was compassionate. When we messed up, when we were sinners, and even after we got saved, who of us here have not relied on the mercy of God after we were saved? And I'm going to go a step further. Even after I was saved, if it had not been for the mercy of God, I still wouldn't be here this morning. Because God was merciful, but it was tender mercy. It was compassionate. It was easily moved. That's the God that we serve this morning. He's a God that is easily moved by the things that touch our life. And I'm thankful that we have a tender God. A God that is easily moved. But it was exemplified through the life of Christ. We saw that tenderness. Remember when Lazarus died, what Jesus did? He wept. Do you know that was a tenderness of spirit? Have you ever seen someone that has a hard spirit and it seems like nothing moves them? I mean, they can have people close to them die. Some people cry more about their dog dying than their wife or husband. But do you know that they can, you see people, they have this such a hard shell. And they're not moved. Nothing moves them. They look on people that have need and they're not moved with compassion. They don't care. Jesus wept when his friend died. In part, what he was doing was entering into the grief of Lazarus' sister. This is the Savior that we serve today. He is moved and he wept. Think about when the children came to Jesus and the disciples were kind of pushing him away, saying, this is too important. Don't bother the Savior. Don't bother the Master. You remember what Jesus said? Suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Do you know I like to see Stephen? I'll put you on the spot. He's back there with his little one. Do you know there's something about seeing a man with a child? With a little baby, there's something that can't be replaced. To see a tenderness and an acceptance that I'm not too important and I'm not so busy that we can't take time for the children. And that's what Jesus did. He said, don't send the children away. Have them come to me. That was the tenderness of Christ. Remember the two blind men that were crying on the side of the road? They were blind. They had a need. They were saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. It said Jesus stopped and he had compassion on them. Do you know that compassion is tenderness? I will say to you young men, a real man is someone that knows how to be tender of spirit. I'm not saying be a woman. I'm not saying be easily offended. I'm not saying be easily wearing your feelings on your sleeves. But a true man is someone that can be moved by the needs of other people to the point that I want to do something to help. That's what the Lord wants. And I want you young men and you boys to know real manhood is not seeing how tough you can get and how independent you can be. A true man of God is someone that has a tender spirit, easily moved by God and easily moved by the needs of other people. That was our example. The adulterous woman, when there were those that were going to bring down judgment on her, do you know Jesus did not excuse her wrongdoing, but because of his tender mercy, he said, neither do I condemn thee. But he said, go and sin no more. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Jesus saw the multitude. They hadn't had anything to eat for 3 days, wasn't it? And he had compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He didn't want to send them away before he met the need that they had. You know that? How compassionate are we this morning? I want you to know that we serve a Jesus that is compassionate for people. Well, they made the mess. They can clean it up. Do you know the Lord is compassionate? How many messes have you made in life and the Lord came along and helped you clean it up? Do you know that's the spirit that God wants us to have today too? What about Zacchaeus when he climbed the tree to see Jesus? Jesus was moved, wasn't he? He didn't just go on his way. He knew there was someone that wanted to see him. And it's because of his compassionate spirit, his tender spirit, easily moved, soft. He stopped and he called Zacchaeus down and said, I'm going to go to your house today. Over in the Luke, the 19th chapter, we read about Jesus looking out over the city of Jerusalem. Do you remember what he did? He wept. Do you know that real men can cry as well? Jesus looked out over the city. And this is what he was talking about at this time. He was thinking of all of the people that had rejected him. and despised him and didn't want anything to do with him, and he wept because of it. Because he was saying, if you would have known, if you only knew the love that I have for you, how I just wanted to take you as a hen gathers in her chicks to protect them and to guard them, but he said you would not. And so Jesus had a tender spirit even towards his enemies and towards those that didn't do him right. He was moved in his spirit because of it. Think about another aspect of the tenderness of Christ. When he hung on the cross in Gethsemane, or after the Garden of Gethsemane, he hung on the cross at Golgotha. As he hung on the cross and beheld those that committed that atrocity, you remember what he said? Forgive them. Father, forgive them. He prayed to the Father that God would forgive them because he said they know not what they do. What enabled Christ to do that? It sure wasn't a hard heart. It wasn't a hard heart. It was a soft heart that was moved by the needs and even the injustices of people. He was moved because of them. Father, forgive them. But I wonder how he was able to do that. And as I meditated upon it, I realized that Jesus was able to pray for their forgiveness from God because he had had a tender heart in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember? When he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, Jesus was being moved by the will of God in his life. People that are hard-hearted are not easily moved by the dealings of the Spirit of God in their life. But Jesus was only able to pray for forgiveness for his enemies when he was moved by the will of God and he was obedient to the will of God. Psalms 25:6, David, he said, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. You know that we have a rich history of the loving kindness of God. The tender mercy of the Lord. We have a long history that we read about. But over in Psalms 51, and let's Psalms 51 verse 1, he said it's a psalm of David. We talked about this story in young people's meeting or Sunday school this morning. But he said when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone to Bathsheba. Now, this is after David had committed gross sin. He committed adultery, he committed murder, and he'd hidden it until he was faced with it by Nathan the prophet. And this was the prayer that David prayed. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. This is a man that had done some very bad things. But isn't it wonderful that he had enough confidence in the tenderness of God that he was still able to come back to the throne and say, God, would you forgive me? This morning, there's nothing that any of us have done that is so bad that we can't come back to the throne and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Have you committed murder? Do you know if you have, the Lord will forgive you? We look at some of the most egregious sins of the world. Do you know that people could approach the throne of God with this same prayer and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Because of thy loving kindness and according to the multitude. Multitude means many. The multitude of thy tender mercies. Do you realize that God is still touched today with the filling of our infirmities? Hebrews 4:15. Or he's touched. Jesus is touched with the filling of our infirmities. So as Jesus left us an example that we are to follow in his steps, in the book of Hosea, in the 10th chapter, in the 12th verse, He said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. In other words, he was saying, sow good seed. Sow seeds of righteousness this morning. Don't sow seeds of discord. Don't sow seeds of unrighteousness. Don't sow seeds of deceit. Don't sow seeds of the flesh. But he said, sow seeds of righteousness. And then when you do that, you're going to reap mercy. The return when you sow seeds of righteousness is going to be mercy. And he said, break up your fallow ground. You know what that fallow ground is? I'm not sure Brother Randy could tell us more about fallow ground. But it's talking about break up that which is hard. If you've gone, when you go to plant your seed, I'm trying to plant some more grass seed. Got a fungus, and that's for another day. But it killed a whole lot of my yard out. And so we had to replant. But unfortunately, a lot of my ground is just hard clay. And it's very difficult to get grass to grow. And the places that will grow is when I rented a slicer and got in there and sliced up the ground. And so you see what's growing is in straight rows. It's that seed that got into the broken ground. Do you know this morning that this is what the Lord is wanting us to do this morning? He doesn't want us to be hard-hearted. We're never going to be able to bring forth the fruit of righteousness in our life unless we have a tender spirit to the things of God. And that comes about by a choice. Tenderness of spirit and openness to God, breaking up our fallow ground, is a decision that I'm going to let down my resistance to God and I'm going to be vulnerable to Him. And when the ground is vulnerable, the seed can get in and then it can grow. But if we don't break up our fallow ground, folks, people say, well, the Lord just doesn't talk to me. Do you know the Spirit of the Lord is still talking today? But are you listening to the Spirit of God? Folks, take advantage when the Lord talks to you. Take advantage of that. Break up the fallow ground and become tender of spirit. Be easily moved by the dealings of God in your life. And then he said, it is time to seek the Lord. Don't just lightly plow the ground. But when you break up the fallow ground, it's get in there and dig deep and turn it over. Get things stirred up in your life. Well, you know that we can be gospel hardened? You've heard that expression, gospel hardened? Hear the gospel preached year after year, Sunday after Sunday, meeting after meeting, and we can come, and it's like, yeah, I've heard that before. I don't know how many times I've heard my own children say, oh yeah, we know that. We've heard that, you know, lots of times. And they give me a bad time. They say, well, Dad, we get it in family worship. We get it in Sunday school. We get it in church. We get it in the gospel truth. We got, yes. Well, thank God for that. But what are you going to do with it? You realize that you have to do something with it. You have to break up your fallow ground because we can hear the gospel. But it's not going to be profitable unless we say, Lord, I want to have a tender spirit. I want to be moved by it. When the Word of God goes forth and you still feel that, I say that little man inside, but you still feel him jumping up and down inside, you still feel that moving in your spirit, that's a wonderful experience to have. You can still raise your hand because you feel the presence of the Lord. And sometimes maybe it means you'll still wipe the tear, that lone tear that drains down your cheek because you're moved by the presence of God. You know what, sometimes that you be in meeting and you feel the presence of the Lord. Maybe it's an evangelistic message about salvation and it makes you almost want to get saved again. You remember how when the Lord talked to you and you prayed to get saved and you're there and you're singing those altar call songs and you just almost want to go down to the altar and just pray because I don't ever want to lose that. I want to keep that tenderness of spirit that I can still feel the presence of the Lord drawing me and calling me. And maybe, yes, I'm already saved, but I still want to have that longing being moved by the call of the Spirit to those that are lost. Break up your fallow ground. He said over in Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hardened would be the opposite of tender then. He said, be careful, be diligent. Is it possible for a child of God to become hardened? It is. And I dare say probably all of us at points have realized we're starting to get a little crusty on some things. Little hardened in some areas, and the Lord wanted us to be tenderized. Don't you put things on meat to tenderize? Salt is a tenderizer, isn't it? Maybe it's not. I see some of you ladies kind of, okay, forget that illustration. I know there are things you can put on meat and marinate it, and it'll cause it to start getting tender. Alright? Because it starts breaking down. It starts breaking down that, you know, the Lord wants us to allow things in life to cause us to get tender. Not to the point that I'm going to fall apart, but to the point that I'm broken enough in my spirit that will enable the Lord to move me. That the Lord will enable the fruit, the seeds of righteousness to get hold and be able to grow up with some root in my life. Well, he said here, exhort one another daily. Folks, we need to exhort one another. And I exhort you this morning, while it is called today, lest you be hardened. We are being inundated with sin all around us. And it doesn't take very long of being around something that's sinful. If you're around it every single day, not that you accept it, not that you're going to ever do it by what you say, but it doesn't take very long if you're not very careful to just get immune to it. Because I'm so used to it that he said, exhort one another. In other words, it doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. You exhort me. Doesn't mean we've done something wrong, but exhort one another that we not get desensitized or hardened because of the presence of sin in our world. All of the works of the flesh are so prevalent. One of the prime examples in our current, this generation, is the homosexual movement. Because we're being inundated on the news with it. It's everywhere you turn around. And what happens is, and it's happening, it's working, that people think it's no big deal. Well, it's still sin, just like adultery is still sin, just like lying is still sin, just like getting drunk is still sin. Those things are sin. So he said, exhort one another and encourage one another that we can recognize that this isn't right, that you can still be moved by the Spirit of God. I don't want sin to cause me to get hard. And you say, well, I'm not sinning, but you know, the presence of sin around us, if we're not careful, we'll just get kind of harden in our spirit. And Jesus wants us to be tender and easily moved. Talked about those that are over in 1 Timothy, those that have their conscience seared. That's talking about hardness. The people have their conscience seared with a hot iron. Those that have, if you do something wrong and you aren't tender of spirit, children, listen. One of the greatest challenges of getting saved when you're young, and it's the best thing to do. Get saved. As soon as you understand that you need to be saved, get saved. But there is a maturing process that takes place. I was saved when I was 5 years old, and I was saved. I remember where the Lord dealt with me. I remember praying. I remember the tears that I shed. And I remember the tenderness of hearts. And I kept a tender heart, but I want to tell you children something, and I've shared it before. My dad told the young people a few years ago, he said, there's a path that's worn on the carpet in the chapel. He said, Michael used to sit there, and the path was worn to the altar. In other words, the point he was making was, I went to the altar a lot. I don't want to lose that tenderness. The point that I'm making, though, is that when you're young and you get saved, you're still a child. So it's, well, if I'm saved, I'm never going to get disciplined. I'm never going to get spanked, and I'm never going to get sent to my room, and I'm never going to get grounded because I'm saved, so I'm going to be perfect. No! You're still a child, and there's this learning process, and there's this maturing. And as parents, we need to remember that too. Sometimes we kind of tend to maybe forget that a little bit. Well, they're saved. That's not, they shouldn't be doing that. They're still children. And so one of the things we want to remember is that the Lord is tender in his dealings with us, but we want to be tender in response. So if you do something you realize you shouldn't have done, fix it. Humble your heart and say, I'm sorry. And don't let the devil say, okay, you're not saved. Now, you're a child. The Lord is working with you, and the Lord can work with tenderness. Whatever happens, the Lord can work with tenderness of spirit. So don't stop asking and fixing things if they need to be fixed. Seek for growth. Seek to move on, but understand there's going to still be areas. But if you begin to stop fixing things that are wrong, you'll start getting hardened to it. Same way with it, and again, I know some of us discussed this morning, but same way when people do something that is a breach of their integrity, their personal integrity, and if you start doing something before long, if you don't fix it, it doesn't matter anymore. You don't even feel guilty about it. You can just go on your way and keep doing wrong because your conscience has been seared. Let's follow the example of Christ and be easily moved by the Lord. And then he taught us over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. He said, be kind one to another. You remember the next word? Tenderhearted. That was the instruction that he gave. Just be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. How did Christ forgive us? You know, he let it go, didn't he? He cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Now, I want to address very briefly, Jesus made provision for the forgiveness of all people, didn't he? He made provision for it. And there is going to come a time that God is going to bring judgment on those that have not received of that forgiveness. But provision for forgiveness was made. So there is a difference, and I bring this out for a point. But reconciliatory restorative forgiveness takes a repentance on the part of the other person. All right? Everybody that is out in the world has not been forgiven by God, have they? Have they? Provision for forgiveness was made. We're not forgiven of our sins until we come and ask for it. And so there is an applicable message today that I think sometimes people don't think about very well, and it causes confusion. There is a type of restoration. Reconciliatory forgiveness means that when there is going to be reconciliation between two people where there's a problem, it's going to take repentance on the part of the one that has done wrong. It's like this. If I came up to you, James, if I came up and slapped you across the face, slapped you again, the scripture says turn the other cheek. In other words, the message of the gospel was don't retaliate, right? Kind for kind. And I came and slapped you again and slapped you again. What James would be required to do scripturally is to let that go, commit me to the Lord, and not hold on me the penalty for what I have done. That is forgiveness, isn't it? I'm going to release that to God. And the next time I come up to James and he flinches and steps back, I'm going to say, well, James, you're not a Christian. You're supposed to forgive me. There was not reconciliatory forgiveness there until I asked him, say, James, I'm sorry for what I did. And at that point, if James has a tender heart like the Lord wants, he will say, I forgive you. He had already forgiven me, that he didn't come back at me. He didn't retaliate. He didn't come back and he let it go. Loved his enemies. That's what the Bible says. But it doesn't mean that he's not going when he sees me coming. After a while, I slap him every time I walk by him. When he sees me coming, if he stepped around the corner so I don't slap him, I can't accuse him of being difficult to get along with. I'm the one that caused that. And so there is a reconciliatory forgiveness that only can happen through repentance of the other person. But if his heart is tender like the Lord wants, when I come and say, James, see, he already had to pray for victory over me. But when I come, and he already forgave me in that sense. But we're not reconciled yet, even though provision is made for it. Until I come and say, James, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Let's fix it. What can I do? If he then has the Spirit of Christ, the provision for forgiveness is there, and he says, I forgive you. And he's easily moved by my repentance. So when he said, forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, it's forgiveness really has, it's a multifaceted thing. Because one of them is, when someone does us wrong, whether they're sorry or not, because I still think if someone does something to me 70 times 7 in a day, I'm going to start questioning their sincerity. You did it 490 times and you kept telling me you were sorry and you kept doing it. I don't think they're sincere. Then you can tell me I'm being hard-hearted, but I don't think they're sincere. But I'm still called to forgive them. In other words, to release them from the penalty, to not have bitterness, to love them and care for them. But that does not mean, it does not require that that is my bosom buddy. You understand? There's a difference here. But when that person comes with repentance, we are to have that tenderness of spirit that we fully embrace them and say, you're forgiven, and that brings about reconciliation. So the Lord taught us this morning to forgive, to be tender-hearted and loving. There are so many times that because of situations in life, you know that if we're not careful, we can start getting hardened. And have you ever heard yourself or been thinking about things and realized you were being a little cynical about something? Anybody ever been a little cynical about something? Do you know that that is a sign of a hardness? And I want to caution us about being cynical. Because I can tell you what brings it. It's pain. It's disappointment in other people, sometimes in yourself or other people. It hurts until pretty soon you're just cynical about everything. Lord, help us to keep a tender spirit, that we're moved when the Lord talks to us, that we're moved by the needs of others, and that we are moved with compassion, that we would stay soft and pliable in the hands of God. Folks, this is part of what it means to be a Christian. Let's be tender. Let's let the Lord use us in our own life as we relate with one another to realize when and not let the devil take advantage on forgiveness. We usually focus on the other part of it, but I brought out just a little bit on both sides of this issue of true divine forgiveness. But a tenderness of heart is ready to receive that reconciliatory repentance when it comes. Because there are times that you do what you can and you can't change anybody else until they're ready to change. And at that point, the tenderness of spirit is there to say, all is well, brother. All is well. The Lord wants to tenderize us this morning. So let's stay open to the voice of God. Amen.